2 minute timeout. Ward to throw. Fires down the left side. They caught.
Come on, baby.
Ground.
Come on,
he
baby.
Might go. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. At the 10. Then the 5. Into the end zone. It's a Miami touchdown. It's a Miami touchdown. It's a Hurricanes party. It's a Hurricanes party. 76 yards on the touchdown. And Miami reclaims the lead in Tampa. Here's the pass yep. for Restrepo. He's got it for a touchdown. What a throw by Cam Ward. And a twisting catch by Restrepo for the touchdown. Ward delivers that one like magic and goes over 400 yards. And Miami now blowing out South Florida 42-15. Poffenbarger hands it away.
Whoa,
sweeping
whoa.
Left. Jordan Lyle, he's got the 20, whoa. Then the 30, then the 40. Look out. Here we go. Jordan Lyle, he's got the 30. He's at the 20. Jordan Lyle to the 10, to the 5, and he takes it all the way home. 91 spectacular yards for Jordan Lyle. He delivers like magic. And that brings the curtains down on the show here in Tampa. 49-15. Mario Cristobal comes off the sidelines and the Hurricanes. One-way traffic here in the second half. They run off 35 unanswered points. And it's a Miami Hurricane here tonight as they overwhelm South Florida. Miami 50, USF 15. And that is your final score.
In motion, Kenny McIntosh out of the backfield. Tomlinson a block. He's going deep and he's got him. DK Metcalf. Big six. What a throw.
You know, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are.
Left tackle moved. And that was Lamb. And here they come, an avalanche. Mafe got him.
You know, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are.
Left tackle moved. And that was Lamb. And here they come, an avalanche. Mafe got him.
You know, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are.
Combining for 66 receiving yards, second and 7. With a run right here, bouncing outside, and in for another touchdown! Zach Charbonnet!
You know, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but such is the nature of the National Football League. And I don't think, you know, I'm not looking for excuses. I don't think anybody in the locker room is. It's tough, but the National Football League is tough.
You know, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are.
All right, not acceptable, whatever. Positive spin anybody in the organization wants to even attempt to do on that one. That was just pure crap, what happened. 24-3, good morning, everybody. Fresh off an airplane, Dave Hyde joining us as well from the Sun Sentinel. Woody in here and all still fired up about Chris Greer's comments about the offensive line.
I was going to suggest, can we get that clip pulled up at some point? But he's way ahead of me. He's got it spliced
in. He's been on that. So a lot of media. I mean, listen, man, like, there's a lot of things to say, and for Chris to make it a point to say it at the beginning and end, and so people, you know, it's one of those, okay, we'll see. And 11 penalties, 1 for 12 on third down, 0 for 3 on fourth down, 205 total yards, equals 3 points. And even if you're down on the defense, which you were down 17-3 in the first quarter and looked like it was going to get, well, it was ugly, even though Seattle only scored 7 points the rest of the game. Skylar Thompson is injured, by the way. So, I mean, he got basically knocked out of the game twice, got up from the first hit. He looked like a deer in headlights. If anybody tries to put, and I'm not in there every day, and no, he did was like, no, it's about production. And he just did not, to put it nicely, look comfortable besides being, I don't know if it's bruised ribs, broken ribs, whatever. He was in a lot of pain. It wasn't a penalty, by the way. Everybody's looking at when he went down for the penalty, and the official's like, he released the ball and he got hit. It's legal. He didn't hit him around the head, and he never got up. It was from the hit before.
Yeah, I was going to say he got hit. Yeah. But the point is, in February and March, when the Dolphins assessing their quarterback situation,
right?
Are they happy? Are they happy with their backup situation?
They apparently were. They said and Dave, nobody's going to come out and say it, but they'd already made up their mind. In my opinion, Skyler's going to be the guy. He was the guy who had the upside. He'd been around the offense. He had a few starts his rookie year, two in a regular season and the playoff game, and thought the growth. And by the way, you can't read into a preseason game because he really was good in a preseason game. But
in one, yeah. But
playing twos and threes, it's base offense, it's base defense. And yesterday when you saw Seattle going after him or fake blitzing and he's looking up and the ball snaps and go through his hands, he just – and there was no awareness. And we can sit and rip the O-line and, you know, they didn't play great either. But – he's got to have awareness of where everybody is and where he's going with the ball. I was really disappointed. I thought there were some opportunities to throw to guys, and he looked the wrong way. And then, Dave, when you get a free play, you got a penalty. Throw it in the end zone. Then he comes back. They get another shot because of a penalty, illegal contact down the field. And he's standing over on the sideline, takes a hit in his back that he didn't need to take. There's no reason. Like, you got to know somebody's chasing you for that whiplash.
He got sacked five times, and probably four of them were his fault.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not blaming those. We knew he had to roll out. Jimmy, before the game, said one of the things he can do is, and he's right, he can run and he's get outside the pocket, keep plays alive, and take off if you have to. Slide, you know, take a five-yard gain. Take whatever. It just makes you wonder, what'd you guys do all week in practice?
Well, that makes me wonder. This was an organizational decision to go with him. This was McDaniel and Chris Greer saying we're good enough at backup quarterback because
there was a chance you're going to need the backup quarterback.
I was going to say you have Tua. Yeah, he made it through all last year, but his history and the quarterback situation across the NFL says he's going to miss a couple games at least. And so, are we ready if the season goes to our backup? And look, teams are winning with backup quarterbacks. Malik Willis is 2-0 in Green Bay.
Bunch of them are starting now.
Justin Fields is 3-0 and probably has won the starting job in Pittsburgh now. Minnesota's 3-0 with Sam Darnold.
Best story going. Four touchdowns.
Then the Panthers. The Panthers got with Andy Dalton. There's a picture of a career backup right now, a veteran, you know, won a great starter and steps in and he wins the game. So it's happening.
Yeah, and the other thing why we're on it here, we're on the dog pile this morning of bad football. And by the way, these two games have been really – this has been a real bad run here with what's taken place now with Buffalo and now going to Seattle for your first road game. And by the way, those guys let that noise affect them like they never played in front of a sellout. I mean, it was loud. Because it sounded loud, and you know, Bose and those guys go, no, it was loud. But
it's a tough place to play. Come on. I mean, you say that,
it is
right?
Loud. It is loud.
You're
but, hey, man,
out.
It's not the first time. It's not the first time. It's not like going
it's
to college.
Not college football, dude. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, like, I don't want to hear about team Seattle.
And it's not like Seattle is the great team when they coined the 12th man up there and all that. So it's not that. They're not a great team.
No, they're not a great team. By the way, their offensive line, we beat their, I mean, their offense at times, but when they had time to throw, when Geno had time to throw, there were guys open and making plays, and including Metcalf and that little dip that he put on Javon Holland and over the top for, because they had time
to
throw.
You know, it was interesting. Geno Smith talked about that play, the 71-yard pass, and Holland biting on that, and he said with their coverage they were in, the safety is going to bite on because he's got the underneath. And they set him up, and Metcalf. Look, they got three great receivers in Seattle.
That might be the best trio of receivers. Now, there might be better, like, ones or wherever you put them all. But those three guys, and by the way, all of them, they got a first-round pick they drafted last year from Ohio State. They've got – Metcalf's a big freak, big physical freak, because you saw him not only catch it but run, and he had a huge game. And they got a guy that's been around for a long time that just moves the chains and just shoot. We go zone, and they have time. It's automatic. Completion. Let's get the other side. Why on a roll? We got Mario Cristobal, and we got a lot of stuff with the Canes, who, by the way, really good to see, because – South Florida came out. We'll talk about this. We got all morning. We'll talk about this coming up. South Florida came out, trick plays, got it going, and kept it close, and actually took the lead there right before the half. You almost forget about that. Took the lead with just a few minutes left in the half, and you're going, this is what we're afraid of. They're going to hang around, and this thing's going to come down the fourth quarter. And that Cam Ward came back, hits his receiver, Brown, down the sideline. Touchdown, and it's a backbreaker. That, to me, was like they can score and have big plays. And this guy, he is so NFL-ready, and we haven't played. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself like we do in the media, like, oh, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. I don't know, but he's got a strong arm. He's got great touch, and he can run. How about some of the runs he had? Just getting sliding out of the pocket to run.
And he answered in the game. In that game, in that moment, I'm sitting there thinking, and you talk about getting ahead of the media. After the opener, I said, okay, they're back. I see their line play looks great. Two great lines and deep. They got a quarterback, and they're back. And I'm sitting there watching the game thinking, oh, my God, they're trailing to South Florida. I'm going to have to write, I jumped the gun.
Yeah.
And then Cam Ward.
That's because, you know why you did that? That's because this has been going on.
Night, that's why.
That's true. Been a couple of decades of stuff like that happening, and just when you maybe go, hey, the Canes look a little more like the Canes, but nothing.
But you see, I've seen that they haven't had lines that look like real college football lines like they got now.
You're saying like there's a lot of guys that are playing for the Canes that you'd rather have than guys playing for the Dolphins. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
no, I'm
absolutely.
Not. There are guys that you're going.
Last year, the Canes probably lose that game, right? I mean, they probably find a way to lose that game. Or, but the biggest play of the game is that after that touchdown you're talking about, you know, at the first half there, South Florida goes all the way back and has a chance to punch it in for a touchdown to tie the game going into the half. They come up with the big defensive stand.
Yeah.
South Florida couldn't score touchdowns.
Boy, they stayed aggressive.
And the guy misses the field goal. They didn't score again.
Yeah, that was it. And by the way, who would have thought be talking about scoring 35 straight points? I'm telling you, I felt like the play, and by the way, they didn't get the points to Woody's, but I thought that long touchdown sideline, that was just like, that's a backbreaker. Same thing happened to Gators. Gators felt good after their run, and Cam took them right back down to Restrepo, touchdown, and you're like, we can't stop them.
We're going to have whiplash talking about these two games. One so good,
one
and one so bad. So bad.
Well, I will tell you, sitting with a bunch of Canes fans watching that game, that throw that Cam Ward made, and you know, the Dolphins' name came up a handful of times.
All right, well, that's great, Boyd, but we want to let you know that guy.
We need that on Sundays. You know, Saturday's nice right now.
Listen,
but
man, I am really having fun with this Cam thing, and the guys out, you know, in Washington have seen him up close, and so we were with Damon Hewer and all those guys. Washington played at home, and they're all like, yeah, man, he was really good last year, too. Like, we weren't surprised how good he was going to be.
You can see why five teams. I talked to him before the season. He said four or five teams were after him hard. And it came down to him. Miami was bringing back more
players. Was Florida State in the running?
Florida State was in the running, yep.
Thank God, can you imagine just that? All right, hey, listen, we got to go to break here. We've got Mario Cristobal going to join. We got a lot of stuff, man. Yeah. Yeah, got a little bit of a scare before the half here and end up scoring 35 straight points. Cannot make that up, Canes fans. Hey, we'll be right back with the coach after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Wow. All I can say is from the West Coast to being back here in South Florida is wow. For everybody had a chance to watch that game on national TV. The Canes win 50-15, and boy, did you get to see some great performances, and like it's been in the first month of the season here. It's coming from everybody. It's coming. The head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, Mario Cristobal, joins us this morning. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
So I just go right to it. So you're down 15-14, and we're going, oh boy, South Florida's hanging around. We are afraid of this. And right after they score to take the lead, I just thought the backbreaker, I know it was early, I don't know what you're thinking, but Sam Brown catches a pass down the sideline, one of the many great throws that Cam Ward made, goes 76 yards, and it was like, oh no, we can't stop these guys. What was your feeling at that point right before the half, Coach?
Well, we knew that their scheme was going to be challenging. I mean, that the pace of their tempo is very different. You actually simulate it in practice by running two huddles and get the defense running all over the place. And, you know, we needed to flip the momentum, right? They scored. They took the lead. They almost hit that onside kick, which was an unbelievable play.
Oh, unbelievable. God.
It really was. And then Cam, he hit the hole shot. You know, the way they play cover two, they do a great job with it. We just, you know, Sam got some great width and some speed and got vertical, and Cam made a great throw, and that flipped it back to our side. But the key, Joe, honestly, was the defense starting to get some stops, especially right before the half, forcing that field goal and then missing the field goal, and then we come out and score and then score again after another stop. That's what flipped the momentum. But they're a really good football team, and, we enjoy seeing our guys like to fight adversity and come back and turn the momentum and win the game.
You know, I know everybody wants to see this thing from the first drive on to just dominate and the way you guys did basically for the two quarters and a couple of minutes the way you guys did. It was just phenomenal. I just thought that might be good for this team a little bit. I know you want to win and score and everybody to play great on every play, but, a lot of people are probably thinking, Coach, uh-oh. Here we go, and all of a sudden your guys go, oh, hell no, and it just seems to – your defense has been relentless. There's so many different parts to this thing to talk about. I want to ask you about Cam Ward. Cam Ward is playing at a level, Mario, 24, 34, 400 yards. He runs some of the sweetest runs between breaks of just shifty, quick feet, getting first downs. But the receivers are playing a really high level, and I don't want to take away from catching the ball, run after catch. Route running has been unbelievable. How much of this all goes back to Cam Ward, though, when you look at the passing game?
Well, I mean, obviously he's one of a kind, and he's playing at a really high level, and he's pissed. You know, he's not happy with his performance. He thinks he should have done better, missed throws, and he makes people around him better. And, you know, one of the keys to the game was keeping him upright because South Florida was one of the top 10 schools in the country at hitting and pressuring the quarterback, and came out of there with no sacks. And he avoided the pressures and got upfield and kept his eyes downfield and made plays. And the receivers really did a great job just not only beating man coverage, but finding soft spots in their zone and securing the football and getting vertical. And all in all, just he makes people around them better. And then people around them get encouraged. They get really fired up to have the opportunity to make plays with him.
Coach, I know we've been talking about this for years, about the receiver position in general. You've got some guys, doing it all from blocking. The route running has been the best I've seen around here in a long time of getting separation. Isaiah Horton has jumped right into the party with those top guys. You're just getting more and more out of production out of all these guys. Isaiah Horton is hung around, and we hear his name in spring. We've heard a little bit. He's had great – boy, is he playing at a high level now.
He really is. I mean, great example of development. Hard work works. You know, you look at the tight end position, the way those guys are developing. You know, Sam Brown really didn't get to us till the end of August or the end of July. So he's now starting to get in a rhythm. Xavier Restrepo is one of a kind also, man. The level he's playing at in every phase, catching the ball, blocking, setting stuff up, you know, being a team player. I mean, I can't give that guy enough credit in the way he works. It just shows up every day. And now the backs and the tight ends are very involved in the passing game also. So the ball is being spread around. If you do your job, the ball is going to find you. But we got a long ways to go. You know, it's certainly a really good game, but, you know, we got to get a whole lot better.
Yeah, well, listen, and that's been the attitude. You made that real clear from week to week. Friday night, finally, the ACC starts up, Virginia Tech at home. This can be. And by the way, I'm so glad we're playing on a Friday night there to get a chance to go down and watch this thing. Run defense. I know we talked all last week. You talked about it. I heard your press conference with the media. We got to stop them. They've been running the ball. They got a really good offensive line. They pounded Alabama and everybody else. 62 yards and a 1.9 per carry average. You had to be real happy with that group. A lot of tackles for loss.
Yeah, I go back to it. I think the defense as a whole was the player of the game. You know, I mean, anytime you play a team like that that wants to get in a boat race with you, you got to get stops. And when we settled down a little bit and started getting our cleats in the ground, those stops, you know, started coming. And then we picked up the pace, and that's when we created separation. But it starts with the defense. It really does, and credit to the players first and foremost, and of course Coach Guidry and the rest of his staff. Great game plan, played really hard, and there's a lot of meat on the bone still. I mean, there's a lot of plays that we could make. So, you know, again, these guys, the best part about them is they stay mad, you know, and we're ready to get back to work.
Well, it's a zoned in group. There's no question about it. And I got to ask you about Jalen Rivers and Reuben Bain, Coach. We getting closer. I know. I bring it up because everybody else is going to bring it up today. How's everybody stand as far as their injuries go?
I mean, they're right there, Joe, man. It's really, really close. You know, everybody's like, oh, crap, here we go, same stuff. No, it's just that's the way it works, man. We're right there with them. I mean, they look great. They're moving around great. They're doing great things in practice. We're doing the right things medically by them. But I think, you know, there's a great chance we'll see them on Friday.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the rub routes – you guys have perfected. I don't call them picks, Coach, but the rub routes at the NFL and everybody's running, your guys are doing a really good job, and I mean clean. I mean as a compliment of guys running it like they're running patterns and stuff. Looks real nice, and the ability to catch the ball with it.
Well, we're getting better. I mean, Virginia Tech is really, really well, so we got to get a whole lot better between now and Friday. Looking forward to working at it today.
Hey, so let's talk the depth. I know Dave Hyde, we were talking, and Dave was talking about the depth of this team. You talked about it, and then you add this freshman class that's sneaking in, and then all of a sudden we see a little 91-yard run from Jordan Lyle out of St. Thomas Aquinas at the end of that game, and great speed. I mean, nobody's going to track him down. He bounces outside, great blocking inside. Talk about Jordan Lyle, along with the rotation of running backs, Coach, and getting everybody carries and catches. Not easy.
Well, the first thing is Jordan Lyle with his run didn't surprise anybody because he's been doing that in camp and throughout practice.
All right.
You know, he's been absolutely awesome, and that guy has an elite future ahead of him. In fact, he has an elite present ahead of him, like today. He's that big of a part of our plan, and the depth, the competitive depth at running back is what it needs to look like at every position. And we're better at some positions than others in terms of that, but that's what Miami should always look like. And we're working our way there. So, no, but in terms of him and the rest of those guys, Coach Merritt, those guys have a great culture in that room. Those guys are always ready to play, and they know they're fighting for reps. So it keeps their intensity levels and their production high.
Well, I'll tell you what, watching this Arroyo healthy, which you told me, hey, Joey's healthy, and seeing what everybody's talked about because he's been hurt a lot, and now the way he is running around, it's hard to imagine a better pass-receiving tight end in the country, the way he runs and catches the ball. My God, Coach, he is something else.
Yeah, and the way he blocks as well, team guys, special teams, he does it all. I think, man, there's his best football is ahead of him in these coming games. And he just grinds, man. He works at it. I mean, complete and total team player. Again, a young Joe Rose.
Maybe. No, I have nothing in common with these guys. These guys, the way they're moving around, you are too much, man. That is hey, so as you look at that, and it's so complete, like it's been a lot here. So now you get ready to go to Virginia Tech, and I know everybody keeps going, oh, you know, we've seen it in the past, the letdown. Is it something you have to talk about, or you think this guy's just get it? They realize we got a chance to do something special. What's the mindset going forward now with Virginia Tech?
The mindset is we really have no other care or concern except the University of Miami, getting better, working our butts off, showing up on game day the very best we could be with toughness, with physicality, with great effort, resiliency, all the stuff that goes with being a Miami Hurricane. And we got a lot to prove, and we know it, so we're just going to stay mad and keep working.
Hey, Coach, real quickly, too, you got a lot of guys, and you got a deep team. We talked about your recruiting classes, the development there, also the transfer portal, and the quality of play you're getting from those guys. My God, we don't have enough time. That would be a one-hour show to talk about the transfer portal, from interceptions, the guys making tackles, the guys running and throwing. It's been fantastic. But you're doing a really good job of getting everybody playing time, because you got to still want to keep everybody happy. How hard is it to get carries and still get guys playing time to catch the rock and keep this talented roster so everybody's, oh boy, this has been fun?
Actually, Joe, it's not hard, because the guys that are playing have earned time, and we're very fortunate that we poured a lot into recruiting not only great athletes but guys that have the right attitude. Because if they're out there and they're playing, they've earned it. If we have to focus on keeping people happy instead of playing the best football we can be, it ain't going to work, so we're not going to do it. If guys aren't happy, you know, God bless. We certainly don't hold anything against anyone, but, you know, there's a lot of other colleges, I'm sure, that would love to have certain players. We're very fortunate to have great ones that love being here, that want to work their butts off, and that's what we're going with, man. We're not going to do the whole cater to this and that. We're not.
What's the biggest thing for you, but besides the quarterback, that's different about this group through four games from a year ago?
I think one thing that stands out is that, and you started seeing it last year, instead of going to like a tangible, I'm going to go with the intangibles of this group really, really loves to work, and they really love being around each other. I mean, that's what stands out. So that kind of snowballs into better practices. It snowballs into guys want to play harder for each other. I mean, it's that simple. These guys, like, they spend a lot of time together. They work their ass off, and they love football. They absolutely love football, and it's what you want to be around. You don't want to be around anything else.
I tell you, too, it's your coordinators. I know we always love to beat up coordinators and head coaches, but, boy, I'll tell you what, your guys have really – I think having the same two guys come back was huge for a lot of guys, but also just the play calling, the aggressiveness on both sides. If something goes against you on a play or two, you guys just seem to come back even more aggressive with belief that good things are going to happen.
Yeah, those guys are awesome. And, you know, we talk about growth and development. Well, growing a program and growing each side of the ball requires continuity, right? Because that way you can develop your systems and develop your players in your systems. And those guys, both Lance Guidry and Shannon Dawson, elite human beings and elite coaches. And, you know, you're seeing it play out on the field in a lot of different ways. And they're, I mean, you should see the hours they're putting in, man. I mean, they're hungry for it. They're all about the University of Miami, so blessed to have them.
Yeah. Listen, a lot of good stuff. And we want everybody, man. You get a chance Friday night football at Hard Rock Stadium, Virginia Tech. First game of the ACC. I find myself now watching all these damn ACC games on the weekend to see how everybody looks, and it's kind of, Coach, it looks like it's week to week. Like, just when you start to think somebody's really good or really bad, there's just an upset in the ACC.
Yeah, football is, you know, it's not a soap opera. It's not a Hollywood script. It's show up to play, brother, and you better be ready, because every single Saturday, you know, remember back in the day, used to be like one upset every 4 or 5 weeks. Now every week there's 4 or 5 upsets. So there is no relaxing. I mean, there's too many good players, too many good coaches, and too many ups and downs with injuries and other stuff that happens with football. You better show up ready to play, brother. If you ain't ready to play, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no question. Hey, I'll leave you with this one just because I said I was just out in the Seattle game, and everybody out there knows Cam Ward, and got to see it. How's he handle all the talk? Because people ask me questions. I said, I don't know him. I asked Coach, Heisman Trophy, playing at an unbelievable level, going to go high in the draft. Is he able to block that out? What kind of guy? I mean, you can't help but hear the noise.
The guy just, he refuses to be outworked. And again, he's a self-starting, very insanely motivated guy that could care about anything less except winning and make people around him better. That's Joe. That's what he is. That's his DNA. So, you know, sometimes, you know, in coaching, you worry about your players hearing this, hearing that. That guy could give a blank about anything except getting better.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, Coach, congratulations on the win. Can't wait, man. I'm a little selfish. I like a day shorter there so we can get another game here at Hard Rock Stadium with the Canes. Going to be fun to kick off the ACC. Thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate you, Joe. Go Canes. Have a good one.
All right. Mario Cristobal, the head coach of the Miami Hurricane, joining us this morning. Wow. I don't really know what to say because I thought it was going to be a close game. I thought what was happening before the half was going to happen in throughout the game in the second half, and boy, was I wrong. 36 straight points. We got to go to break here. We got a lot more. Dave Hyde's with us from the Sun Sentinel. We'll talk about that other team that played yesterday out in Seattle, speaking of being out there. So we got a lot of stuff to get to, so stay with us for that. But first, we do want to get caught up here with Atlantic Men's Clinic. Hello there, Atlantic Men's Clinic. I've had a lot of brothers out there come up to me. Nice to hear guys in the old age group of brothers that are going, yeah, I've been going. I went there Friday before I left for the trip. Two guys in there go, hey, man, I'm here. It's great to have you. Younger guys, I might add, too. I never ask age. You know, listen, man, low T and ED, it hits all guys. Sometimes in their 40s, sometimes your 50s, for sure in their 60s, because I had full-blown low T and ED. I'm not proud of it. The reason I'm talking about it, it's gone. And it's going to be gone quickly for you, too, at the Atlantic Men's Clinic. It works, period. I'm just telling you, you got to make that call, find out what they can do, meet with their professional, schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. Six locations throughout South Florida to serve you. Their initial visit includes medical consultation with a Florida licensed medical provider, T, and a PSA test. We're going to find out everything, man. Low T, and usually if you have low T, you have ED. And it's not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. It's something that you can take care of, fix, get it back, just like it used to be for you. Whether more energy to work out, feeling better every day, more energy on the weekends to do more things, or just getting your sex drive back and getting your sex life back, period. Atlantic Men's Clinic can do it for you. Call them today, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com.
You know, I thought the positives were it took care of the ball. I did think Skyler did a good job operating the offense. I think there needed to be a lot better job in preparation on my part. So, 11 penalties is not good enough, but we took care of the ball. You know, I think Boyle came in and, you know, I thought did a great job leading the guys, was very good in the huddle, and I think was very good communicating the things that I needed communicated from the sidelines. The bottom line is, you know, I see the quarterback as an extension of the offense, and the offense is an extension of me, and 3 points. I've never won a game scoring 3 points, so I think collectively, starting with me, that just needs to be better, and we have to get it figured out fast.
You know, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. As it was a stinker in Seattle, 24-3 loss. You heard Mike McDaniel talking about it. They did not look prepared. Skyler, to put it nicely, did not look comfortable for a guy that's got some starts and been in this offense for 3 years. And I know it's different playing, hadn't played in more than a year, but just deer in headlights, man. I got hit, took some hits. He didn't need to. There was some opportunity to at least get rid of the ball and find somebody or take off and run. He got hit before the half ended. Dave, as Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinels with Dave, he took a shot at the end there. He didn't need to take. He got hit like somebody's running, a big guy's running 20 miles an hour behind him and hits him in the back. He took some shots. I'm not surprised he got knocked out of the game.
Well, there was a general unawareness of, I got to get rid of the ball here. I can't put myself in position here. 5 sacks, and again, was one of them might have been the line's fault, and the line didn't play well. We can get into that. In fact, my lead in the my Sun Sentinel column today was if only it was only about the quarterback.
Yeah.
Because the defense gave up 17 points in the first quarter, and all of a sudden, for the third straight time, you're down double digits in the first half. And this team hasn't – last year they didn't show a great ability to come back. They had one comeback win against Dallas. Now they came back against Jacksonville. But that's not the situation they want to be. And then the offensive line, they have the first and goal at the 6, first and goal at the 3. They try running the ball up the middle with Achan. And not that he's a power – he's not a power back.
Dave, your defense gives you the ball at the 6-yard line.
You got to get touchdowns.
An interception. That can't be 3. That's got to be a touchdown.
And that's where you got to take some pressure off your backup quarterback. If you have that offensive line that Chris Greer was so proud of earlier in the year and questioned people for even being concerned about it, they get the ball in the end zone. Seattle run defense isn't good, and they were down – at least one defensive tackle at that point, and maybe two. I'm not sure.
They did lose their starting defensive tackle, and their right tackle did not play in the game. He's on IR. So, yeah, I thought there was opportunity. The Dolphin defensive line picked it up and got rolling and made Seattle look pretty bad until that last drive where they marched down and finally said, we're going to put this thing away. But you can't win scoring 10 points at home against Buffalo and 3 points. Dave, there's now scoring an average of 11 points a game.
20, 10, and 3. And you go back to the last month of last season, and you have to wonder, has the NFL cracked the code on this fun-loving Dolphin offense? And we're going to take away Waddle. We're going to take away Hill. And, you know, and they had a couple – each of them had a couple big catches in the Jacksonville opener that blew out that game, that brought them back.
Got a 63 and an 80. Yeah, you're going, all right, we got it.
Yeah.
Dave's right, though, man. We were talking about that yesterday. It feels like they have figured Mike McDaniel out, unfortunately.
Well, he doesn't have an answer. Yeah, he must think so, because we're not doing a lot of the things that we did last year. And by the way, we went out and spent a lot of money on Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, a lot, to make them what they've been. The best combination of receivers. One young guy you want to keep. The other guy was voted by most people everywhere as the best player in football. I'm not saying it. That's what Madden said. That's what the players voted on. Best player. He's one of the best players. 3 catches for 24 yards against Jacksonville. 3 for 40 against the Seahawks. Waddle, 4 for 26 and 4 for 41 in the last 2 games.
If Skylar Thompson is coming to the sideline, you're Mike McDaniel, you say, start feeding Tyreek Hill. Now, Seattle knows, teams know that, and Buffalo has figured out the last 3 games against Buffalo, 20 points, 14 points, and 10 points. So Sean McDermott has figured out how to stop it. And again,
a secondary that people, honestly, including people in the organization, said Buffalo's defensive secondary, we can get it. Now, they didn't say that about Seattle's secondary. It's damn good.
No, Buffalo was down 5 defensive starters when the Dolphins played
them a couple weeks ago. Nickel all-pro player doesn't play in the game, and you're like, oh, this is going to be one we can really attack. But
I thought that Mike McDaniel 3.0 this season would have some new wrinkle.
I did,
and
too.
I haven't seen it. I thought maybe it's a tight end with Jonnu Smith. Now, it wasn't going to be the power running game. I thought they might have added that over the offseason, that we got to get some muscle in this offense. And yesterday was perfect proof they haven't added any muscle. They couldn't run the ball up the middle when they had to.
Now, and the penalties. Listen, the penalties and the third down problem. Well, penalties are part of the problem. You struggle on third down because you're in third and like all day, like 12, 13, 14 yards. There's some bad ones. Fourth down, you've been a disaster in the last 2 games.
1 of 15 on third and fourth down yesterday. 1 for 15. And it's Mike McDaniel, remember he was a big gambler last year? Big, aggressive fourth down?
Not yesterday.
Fourth and 1 at Seattle's 39 on the first possession. There's a situation. He went for it 100% of the time. And instead he calls in a 57-yard field goal attempt. That doesn't make it. But the larger point to me was he does not trust that offense to get a yard this year.
It's it's really interesting. I know they do self-evaluation and they have all these numbers come back on what they're doing and not doing and all those things, but Mike calls the plays. Skyler didn't look ready to play. He just didn't. I was more disappointed in his play than anything else to start with. And then from there, I go into play calling because Mike has been so good as a play caller. I've defended him. I defended him last week. A lot of people, by the way, they're going, Joe, I told you last week you shouldn't have it. A lot of people say you shouldn't be calling plays. I said, nah, it was pretty good, man. 29 points a game. You might want to hold on a little bit, but come back with just a nothing game plan.
Yeah, I don't want I get Skyler, people are going to criticize him and question him and all that, but to me that's an organizational decision that put Skyler into a situation he obviously isn't ready for.
Back to that, cuz I heard that a
lot
yesterday.
He isn't ready though. Like the guy's
he's not good enough to be
that he shouldn't be in the NFL.
That's the larger question organizationally.
But they thought he was.
What did they see that said if the season falls to Skyler Thompson, we're going to trust he can keep it going?
So the question has been this. This is the one that people are saying quietly. I listen to everybody. Does sometimes Mike fall in love with guys and that relationship, and he doesn't not able to step back and go, hey, man, Skyler's not what you think he is. And the upside of Skyler's not what you think he is.
Well, clearly they have issues evaluating quarterbacks. He just gave Tua $250 million.
Well,
the guy's career might be over.
To me, the question
great question, too.
So, obviously, they have a little bit of trouble in that department, right?
But until
a guy out there has been in your organization for that long, that was embarrassing.
Somebody over there made a decision. And by the way, I think the decision on Skyler was made on Mike White long before anybody else. Everybody's going, oh, I went down in the fourth preseason game. I'm not so sure about that. I think that decision kind of starting to feel that during camp a little bit earlier. But whatever it is, they thought one of those two clearly was better than, and they couldn't upgrade it.
Or they don't value the backup quarter position the way they should.
Well, Dave. Come on, they have to know Tua gets. I know he stayed healthy last year, but that's the only year in the last 7 or 8 years he's been this healthy.
Since he came in, and Mike they had did a job of resurrecting Tua the first year, and they built his confidence up. Do they not want to bring in someone who can not going to push him? I mean, but
he's the guy,
and so they had to get. And I wrote this in August, so I'm not like second or third guy.
You can dogpile a little bit, right? Now.
Are they happy with this quarterback, the backup quarterback? That was the number one question coming out of the preseason to me. Because for as much as Skyler had a couple good series in the final preseason game, everything to that point I saw in practice and in the games is like, ugh. If he's your third quarterback, okay, that's fine. But you're going to trust the season to him?
They had a chance, as you said, to look at everything in the offseason. That's what the offseason's for, and go, okay. Backup quarterback, more than half the NFL quarterbacks in the NFL did not play a full season last year. Starting quarterbacks was a problem, and as you know, Chargers.
You had a lot of backups played really well yesterday,
and a lot of backups
earlier.
A lot of first and second round dudes that are now starters are playing in a lot better.
Malik Willis put up 30 against Tennessee. But to me, getting back to this, if Mike McDaniel falls in love with Skyler Thompson, it's Chris Greer's job to push back and say, wait a second, are we going to be happy with if we have to go to Skyler? You know, and for all that, you know, Mike McDaniel's first-year coach, putting together this kumbaya feeling around the team. Everybody, you know, everybody's going to get paid. Everybody's going to be happy. That's how we're going to win. Did nobody push back against that? That's Chris Jer. He's a veteran GM. You got to push back against that.
So,
I mean, in fairness, though, what were the other options?
No. There is no fairness.
Andy Dalton's out there. He just led the Carolina.
There is no fairness to what Dave's saying, though. So I don't know the answer to this, but they do. And the organization does Chris. Chris does usually what his head coaches want. Hey, no, we got it here. I don't need – okay. And how much, to Dave Hyde's point, does he fight back and go, no, we need to do this. I think we need to upgrade it. Now, saying that, Chris Greer drafted Skylar Thompson.
In the seventh round, though.
Chris Greer is the obviously the common factor in all this. Right?
I don't know.
I mean, he's
whatever.
Joe, the team is a disaster.
It's bad.
He's got his fingerprints all over this thing. Like, I don't. Who are they going to roll out a quarterback on Monday night, by the way?
Well, there's
that's pretty easy.
Tim Boyle, right?
No, it's got to be Tyler Huntley. I'm telling everybody. Tyler Huntley, hey,
okay.
I love you, Tyler. I haven't seen you since high school at Hallandale High School, but listen, I hope
Sentinel Player of the Year.
Learn more offense the next 5 or 6 days. Tell your family you won't see him, and get ready to play.
Tennessee's one of the worst teams I've seen in a long time. They're terrible. The Dolphins are, depending on where you
last
look,
year.
The Dolphins are either 1-point favorites or 1-point underdogs that game already.
Is that what it is?
Depending on where you
That's because we have a back. We have this quarterback.
Well, you're into a situation where, okay, you go down to your third quarterback. Not many teams are going to win that way. I had people texting me yesterday, play Tyler Huntley. And I said, he's been in the team 2 days.
No, he probably doesn't know
to play.
When he wasn't active for yesterday, I went, "He there's no way to learn Mike's offense. It's not easy.
If they got that guy killed.
Hey, I got it in 3 days, no problem."
Who was the next quarterback, just out of curiosity, if they got that guy killed? Boyle?
They were out. You can only suit up.
Like, who
so
was
going to
go
guys.
Play? Was Tyreek going to play quarterback at that point?
I don't know who that
I will say, Boyle came in and he got the ball at the 48, right? And he drove down to the three, two runs in the middle, get 1 yard. And then he threw a nice pass to Durham Smythe. Catchable in the NFL. These are the big leagues. These are the big leagues. You got to catch that ball.
How about your defense set you up at, what, the 5 yard line after that pick?
Yeah, okay. That was going back to Skylar Thompson.
Woody, that's a drop every day of the week, Durham Smythe.
These are the big leagues.
It's still not. I mean, it wasn't like
when I saw it. When I originally thought, I thought it was overthrown, and then I see it's in his hands and hits the ground. And
wasn't like a routine catch. I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Hey, man, I was the only tight end that probably didn't get 10 penalties in that game.
How does Julian Hill
what do
still
they do with
in
the tight
game?
End? That's hey, what, I can't
tight end
understand that. Out there to both, get penalties? Is that
hey,
all they do?
I appreciate everybody's jacked up, but it's 7 o'clock, man. We're way behind here on a Monday morning.
Bring
hey,
us back
hey, you know what? I tell you, our boss is pissed off, but he hasn't been up this early since he started working here 20 years ago. Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning, man. Ah, boy, everybody's jacked up. I don't even think you guys need caffeine, man. You are just all jacked up here this morning, getting into the bigger problems and trying to figure out what in the hell is going on with a team really has not played great football in the first three games. 1-2, Miami Dolphins. We'll have more coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. But right now it's time to tell you about a winner every day, your South Florida Chevy dealers. Man, when you have a starting lineup and you go Suburban and Tahoe's in the backfield, plenty of room, space for the whole family. Then you turn it over the Traverse, the midsize SUV, and you go, wow, what a nice look and a lot of room. Then you go to other forms of quality like the smaller SUVs, a Trailblazer, the Blazer, and the Equinox. Boy, I'll tell you what, style and substance, man, plenty for you. And then Silverado trucks, strong, durable, offensive line of trucks that are absolutely perfect for your lifestyle. Full-time working trucks, we got them. Need a family truck, Silverado family truck? We got those too, man. New and used. This never looked better than it does right now at all convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and even Monroe County. Space, style, look, we got it all. Best overall products we've ever had from top to bottom. Matter of fact, qualified buyers get 1.9% APR on all 2024 Silverado 1500s, the Blazer EV, the Equinox, the Trailblazer, the Blazer, and the Colorado model. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.